Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hello, good evening or good afternoon, depending on where you're listening from. My name's Matthew Donaghy. Tonight, unfortunately, Penny's unable to make it. So once again, I'm joined by my best mate and co-host, Adam Weller. So good evening, Adam. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. And hello and good evening, everybody. Hope all is well and doing the best they can in current times.
Yeah, absolutely. So tonight we're going to be discussing three things in times like this that you need or may find helpful to stand and be unshakable. And the first, again, we're going to sort of break the show down into three parts. But the first one is connection. And we mean that it's connection with the universe, connection with a tribe, that can support and inspire you and that can lift you up when you have those moments of feeling slightly anxious or vulnerable. And the second part is an unshakable mindset, and that's to navigate and help you through the challenges of this what will be a historical moment. And the third is the ability to take a powerful stand and lead the people you serve or help out in the community, whatever that is, and that's personally and professionally. So obviously the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about connection. And it's something that I know we briefly spoke about on the last show, but one thing that I think is really important at a time like this, when people are at home, obviously you've got a lot of office workers, a lot of people that are used to working within a close environment with people. And although they may not have really, really close relationships with the workforce or all of that workforce, just not being around a large amount of people can often make you feel a little bit unshaken. I know for me, one thing I've noticed is just having human interaction. A lot of people miss that. And it can be quite a lonely time for people at the moment, especially with everybody isolating, people not being able to sort of see their families and connect with friends that they would usually sort of every week. And I know a lot of people are doing it sort of online. I've certainly been FaceTiming my niece and nephew, and we've been having a right laugh on FaceTimes with various animal emojis and things like that. And it's little things like that that you can do to really help sort of perk you up and lift the mood. I know there's a lot of sort of virtual parties and virtual stuff going on, which is there to sort of help and support people. And it's about reaching out and building your own sort of safety net in a way. So I mean, obviously there's communities out there that can help. You've got local communities, obviously Acorn to Oak has a community, and it's about supporting and really helping people when they're feeling low, because we all have times where we're cooking on gas and we feel unshaken and it's like nothing can go wrong. But when the proverbial hits the fan, it can be sometimes really quite difficult to cope 100% of the time and keep that focus. And very much, if you're one of those people that can, that's the time when you've got to really stand up and say, look, this is the way to go. This is, you need to keep positive and put certain things within your life that support you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's, I mean, very, very much you have to sort of take care of yourself first. But once you are in that position where, you know, you are cooking on gas and you are feeling good, then start offering the help and support out, you know, whether that be via a group, whether that's online, or obviously we can't do sort of face to face at the moment,
No.
but it is getting involved with like-minded people. And I found it really interesting because, you know, we are all in a massive time of isolation at the moment. And but yeah, actually the sense of community and that sort of thing that you're seeing, you know, it's like I was walking down the shop today and there's these two old ladies, and whereas normally they'd probably be sat in their back garden reading a book, actually they're both sat out just sort of on the threshold of their property, both in their own front gardens, both, you know, probably a good sort of 5 meters apart. They're sat out there reading their book, albeit separated
That's
and in
lovely.
isolation, but together. And it is, you know, it's doing those sorts of things, and it's showing your support to the people that you can, and, you know, chat to your neighbour over the fence. It's like, yes, we are all more isolated, but actually we are all a lot more conscious of the fact of, when it boils down to it, we almost crave that human interaction. And you can't, you know, you can't beat that. You can't beat having that, even if it is across the fence, that face-to-face conversation with someone. You know, it's I think with this whole sort of pandemic that we've got going on, it's one of the real big things that's being highlighted sort of on a massive scale. You know, I think for me that's one of the real sort of potential positives to come from it, is that people are gonna, after this is all over, they're not just gonna go back to living their own lives. They're gonna continue having those conversations
Yeah.
with the neighbour across the fence, and that, or at least I hope that people will
Yeah,
continue it.
absolutely. I mean, I know there was a street, I think it was up in Manchester. There was a street that every day they go out on the street and play music at 11 o'clock. And it was like you've got kids dancing, you've got the elderly dancing, and it was just one of those beautiful videos. And you think, well, that's how we should be living our lives. That's how we should have been living our lives before this. And it very much is taking those things and carrying them on. At 8 o'clock tonight, again, we were out on the street clapping for the NHS and emergency services. But also, it's not just the emergency services. Sure, they're on the front line, but there's also a lot of key workers out there as well. And again, I know I mentioned it on the last show, but what was really interesting for me is I've heard a couple of comments today where people have feel as though their noses are put out of joint, and it's like they feel they can't celebrate with the NHS staff. All the clapping's about them because, well, what about them? They're a key worker. And again, it just highlights the selfishness of some people that, oh well, no, they shouldn't be celebrated for because we're not. And it's kind of like, again, it's just like, grow up. Like we seriously need to grow up and change our attitudes and realize that actually we're all in this together. And just because someone hasn't mentioned key workers, it doesn't mean that they're all included. So any key workers that are out there, if you hear clapping and you think it's just for the NHS, take a breath and realize it's for you as well. That was the intention of this clapping in the UK. I think they were doing it in Atlanta, and I'm sure many other parts of the world they're doing it as well. So it's less about the fighting and coming together. And I think it is beautiful when you're standing out on the street and everybody's clapping and cheering, and someone over the road sets some fireworks off. And it's like within that isolation, we can actually become closer. It's like, I used to love the world when I was reminiscing the other day about how life used to be back in the 80s when we used to meet our friends after school. You'd meet at a phone box at 4 o'clock, and if your mate wasn't there by 20 past, you'd go round to his house and check that if he was allowed out or not, and then go from there. And there was a much simpler way of living, but people were a lot closer. And it's something we're seeing coming back in now, and community is so important. And I think it's get to know your neighbours, because ultimately if you had an emergency, you're not going to jump online and ask for help, are you? You're going to go to the closest person. And these neighbours are people that we can sort of would be relying on in an emergency situation and want to be there for them if they were in an emergency situation. So now is a time for very much building that, building your local community and getting that in place so that you, your general day-to-day life is better when you say hello to people in the street, and it, it just gives you that warm fuzzy feeling inside of connection. And again, whether it's connection to the universe or just connection to humanity, it it feels good. So why not do it more? And then it's like an online community. If obviously we're in the online era, and that it's, there are communities out there that can really help you, whether it's help and support and guidance you need, or whether it's just sort of knowing that you've got a group of people that you can go to and get advice from, or rant or just dump. And there's no judgment. It's finding that group of like-minded people that are on the same journey as you. And I know, again, it can be quite difficult to determine, as Penny would say, like the good from the bad and the love and light, because there's a lot of people, obviously, with people being at home, there's a lot of people offering all sorts of stuff, and it's knowing what to go for and what's right for you. And the best advice I could give you is follow your heart. Tune in. If you're looking to join a community or do some training, like, be very, very discerning. Like, tune into your heart, because your heart will give you an honest answer. And I've always use that when looking into, well, should I join this, or what should I do here? And it's tuning into your heart and going with the feeling, because you can trust your feelings a lot more than you can your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think if something sort of doesn't feel right about it, or something doesn't quite sit right, maybe it's a bit sort of salesman-y or yeah, you know, then It isn't very much like you just said, it's having that discernment, you know. It's not settling for the first thing you find, it, especially, you know, in this time where you have got a little bit, or a lot of people have got a little bit more time on the hands, you know. It is, and it's being real honest with yourself as well right at the beginning, and okay, what do I actually need to help cope, or to help get through this situation that I'm in? Is it,
yeah,
someone for a one-to-one call that has excuse me, vast sort of knowledge and expertise that can really help you pinpoint it? Is it just having a community where, like you say, maybe online, where you can just jump into the Facebook group and go, right, okay, bang bang bang, this, blah blah blah, job done and get on with it? It's working out what you need and then seeking it and finding it. And yeah, very much don't, yeah, if something doesn't feel right, like I say, I think that's probably the best advice. If something doesn't feel right, then keep looking until you find it.
Yeah, because you'll know when you do. When we're talking about connection and connecting with people, it's trusting the feeling you get and tuning in and going, yeah, actually that feels good. They feel like-minded people, because there are, unfortunately, a lot of people out there at the moment that are sort of misguiding people, and it's actually at a very vulnerable time. One thing about sort of communities or whatever business you run, whether, especially if it's in sort of mental health or coaching, it's being there for your clients and helping them and guiding them and supporting them. And very much it's, you'll feel it when you find the right people or organization, whatever it is, because you just know. And I think it's so important for people right here, right now, with a lot of people spiritually waking up, a lot of things feel really, really overwhelming, and it's hard to know where to find the truth. If a lot of people out there are feeling as though they're being sold to. So there's a lot of hard sell out there, and it's almost like being sort of bombarded. And you know if somebody is genuine, because everybody will have a style of selling, because if you have a product or a service, naturally you have to promote it. But it's looking where is their highest will and good at? Are they looking to help and support you, or are they just looking for a quick buck? Because again, it could be easy to get drawn into things that seem shiny and all firing, but actually sometimes you want to look for something that's in between. For me, I don't like big selling, because I find that you sometimes lose some of the personal connection. And especially within the spiritual work, when you're waking up and you need answers and you need the truth, it's really important to find that sort of community that's on that path and is speaking the truth. And it's listening to various different people as well. It's like, don't just take what I'm saying for gospel. It's like, get out there and look around and investigate and know that what you're looking at is real. So whether it's a community or tribe, or just looking to in your local community, it's like, get out there and experience it, because that connection is really what's helped me in the last sort of few weeks, is just really staying connected, A, with the universe, but B, with all of my clients and my sort of base of people. So neighbors and things like that. It's just reaching out a little bit more than we did before, and putting in a little bit more effort to get in touch with the family, because I've probably spoken to my family more since we've been isolated than I have when we weren't isolated. So for me, again, that's something I've been doing a lot, is just pushing things out and doing things more, and it feels good. And the more you do it, the more you realize just how almost sort of like disconnected we were before this.
Yeah,
So you almost can't help but see the silver lining, whereby you just hope the rest of the world gets it, and we really do start thinking about other people. One thing that I shared with a friend the other day was, I'm just coming up for a break, so I'll share that story after the break. Thank you very much.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. So, yeah, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and we were talking about just the where people are at. And one thing we were discussing is that people really don't get how far out of sync we've been. We've heard lots of stuff on the news about vulnerable people and groups of people and that sort of thing. But neither of us had heard any mention about homeless people. So we're all stuck in our homes and people are complaining because, well, it's really hard to be stuck in their home all day. And then you think, well, what about the people that haven't got a home? And where are they? What are they doing? Because the community that they have to support them is now stuck at home. So you realise that actually some of the most vulnerable people in the world literally rely on a community of people. And it really hit home. And I kind of looked, it's when you sort of take a breath and go, wow, yeah, I actually could be doing a lot more. And without beating yourself up, it's just going, well, yeah, I will then. And it's kind of like, this is really what we are missing. I mean, if we were truly one giant community, we wouldn't have homeless people and we wouldn't have people being abused and having to go through all sorts of abuse and traumas. Because if we were a bigger community and we were looking after each other, less people would be able to get away with that behavior, because more people would be standing up and saying, actually, that's not acceptable, in a very graceful way. And that's how you make changes. It's doing it with passion and grace rather than with anger and spite. And I just wanted to mention that before we move on to the next subject, because, yeah, when people are actually at the most vulnerable, community is what actually they more often rely on. And that's what can keep people alive and keep people going, because they feel like a bigger part of it. And one other thing I just wanted to really mention, somebody who I think has made a huge effort, in that they've given away 275 grand to help provide masks and medical gloves. And I think it's James McElroy. I could have the name completely wrong. But he stood up and given a huge amount of money to help people. And you think he could, I almost wish I had millions in the bank so I could do the same. And you think, well, with 1% of the country holding money, or the world holding the money, if we spread it out a little bit more, then we could make huge changes. So I kind of hope that him standing up and giving some would, some other people might do it, because we could really be helping people. So the second part of the show is, we're going to go into now. It's about mindset, and how do you keep an unshakable mindset? And that's, some people struggle when the going's good, but when you're faced with something like this, how do you get through it? And what have you found yourself doing in the last couple of weeks? Have you found yourself being able to find the positives, or has the mind chatter been taking over? Has the fear been taking over? Because one of the biggest things I found is that the mind is a wonderful thing, and it's an incredible computer, and it's very good at finding evidence, and can be used in a very effective way. However, there's parts of the mind which don't necessarily work for us and can tend to work against us. And when you're provided with evidence, that evidence can be based on past experiences or fear. When you look at what's going on with the coronavirus at the moment, there's huge amounts of fear which are just taking over people and absolutely consuming people. And when you look at the behaviours of all of the panic buying and that sort of thing, these people are not thinking straight. They're not thinking logically. And so there's a certain amount of delusion going on in their own mind. It's like they're expecting a zombie apocalypse. And it's just, it's not going to happen. I mean, if you're looking forward to it happening, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we're not heading for a zombie apocalypse here. But people are literally behaving that way. And you look at, what are they telling themselves? What is their mind saying to them that they have to do this behavior of, I've got to buy 50,000 toilet rolls and 5 pallets of pasta, and then I'll be all right. And you think, well, you're going to be eating toilet paper and pasta for a long time, because they don't seem to be buying anything else. So you look at how different people respond. How are you responding at the moment? I found that I had a couple of days to start with where it was a little bit, I would say, shaken, where it's right, we need to sort of refocus and do things slightly different here and just course adjust, really. But just wouldn't allow myself to buy into the fear of what's going on. And I feel as though there's a lot more to this coronavirus than we know. It's easy to forget that we're just humans on a planet. We think we have control. We think we're in charge, but actually we're not. Mother Nature's in charge. The universe is in charge. And it's times like this that you think, actually, yeah, right here, right now, we're out of control. We don't have control of this. So you have to ride the waves. You can get dragged under and ride in the currents underneath, or you can stand up high and surf the waves, because it is a choice how you respond and how you allow that mindset to work for you. And we use an Acorn to Oak, we obviously NLP, we use some Ho'oponopono techniques, which is sort of clearing, and it's to keep your mind clear and keep some of the mind chatter down, some of the limiting beliefs. So I think that's what a lot of people are struggling with at the moment is the limiting beliefs. They think, oh, well, because everything's changed, nobody's going to want to buy from me. And that's not true. People would still buy from you, but your sales technique has to be different. You have to allow people to come to you and not try and sell them something, because right here at the moment, because people are in fear, the moment you approach them and try and sell them something, they're going to back off and they're unlikely to buy from you. What you need to do is just reach out to people with no attachment and just try and help people, and obviously still promote yourself, but allow people to come to you. I know a lot of people sort of said, oh, my business is going to go under because I can't now sell to people. And it's like, you can, you just have to do it in a different way and not make it about the selling. And they gain trust within that.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, that is a lot where your mindset comes into it. And I think that's a lot where people are sort of being tested at the moment, because, you know, very much like you say, when the chips are up and everything's going good, it is real easy to keep going and keep banging that drum. But especially in a topsy-turvy world that we're in right here, right now, what are you doing to make sure that you are getting out of bed in the morning and you are phoning those clients, or you know, even if you haven't got any clients that day or anything like that, then phone 5 friends or do something different. This, you know, it's about taking care of the monsters that come up and the fears and all, no, well, I can't do this and the da 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 da, because especially when you haven't got the distraction from the outside world and that sort of thing, it'd be real easy to drive yourself mad just listening to the thoughts running around in your head, you know. I mean, for us, you know, we talk a lot obviously about pattern interrupts and things like that, but I think, you know, to keep your mind sharp and to keep that sort of unbreakable mindset, then you have to do the work within yourself as well as sort of outwards. You know, it's I mean, it's something I noticed over the last few days, and it was just, you know, a few little bits creeping up here and there, and it wasn't like it was all consuming or anything like that, but it's just like, okay, yeah, that's interesting, there's some stuff going on there. And I mean, everything happens for a reason, but it just so happened I ended up having a chat with Penny. Sort of, I woke up in the morning and yeah, it was like I wasn't feeling great. I had some mind monsters up. Turned out that what I needed to do was just have a chat with my guide and a fantastic practitioner that, you know, really knows her stuff, helped me gain some perspective, cleared some of that fear and worry, and then it was back cooking on gas. Because yes, everything's uncertain and we don't know what's going to happen, but it's, you know, it's the same as everything. You know, people say, oh, I haven't got a choice or this. There is always a choice. You may not be able to choose the situation you are in, but you can always choose how you react to that situation. You can throw in the towel and, oh, well, the coronavirus is hit and I can't go out and I can't do this and I can't go to work and I can't earn money and that's it, my life's over. Or you can go, right, yeah, this is a setback. I need to make some changes. I need to adapt slightly. I need to grow a little bit. But you look at me in a year's time and then I'll tell you, yeah, actually business is booming again. Because, you know, okay, yes, everything has slowed down, but once this is all over, naturally there's going to be a flip of that and everything's going to speed up. You know, all the building jobs that have been cancelled still need doing just once we're out of the woods and we're out of this sort of troubled times. You know, cars still need fixing. Everybody still needs the services that are being offered, you know, and whether that is a personal or a professional one, you know, the services being offered, they will need them again. It's just very much like Matthew says, it's riding the waves, taking a positive approach to it, keeping yourself sort of sharp as such and on a level, and then pushing that out and extending that, and, you know, using your communities. But also, when you're on a good day and you're on cloud nine, don't not worry about the community that day. Put a post in, okay, yeah, I'm feeling great today, how's everybody else doing? Because that may lift someone's mood, or that may just encourage someone to go, oh, actually, do you know, mate, yeah, I'm really struggling, you know. And that's when you're then flipping it and you're then helping others. And once again, you know, for me, one of the things I've always done, like, especially if I'm in a bad mood, I'll do a nice gesture for someone else. Because you do something nice for someone and it's not to do it to gain reward or get a return, but that feeling of sort of gratitude and joy that you get within yourself, actually, yeah, I could have walked past that homeless guy and not said anything. As it was, I stopped for a 2-minute chat, bought him a sausage roll and off he went. And it's just having those little things, you know. If things are good with you, then who can you help and support? What can you do to help others? Because, you know, I think it is very apparent, you know, with everything going on, it's like we are, as human beings, there may be 7 or billion of us, but we really are just ants when it comes to the grand scheme of yeah, of the world and the universe, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, one of the things that I've noticed is clients that I've been working with for a few years are sort of getting in touch and making sure that they carry on their sessions to keep themselves clear so that they can, a few of them are key workers, so that to keep themselves clear so that they can still be the best version of themselves for everybody else. And I found sort of new people approaching, because actually people are realizing that they need to sort of make a change. A lot of people are struggling with the mental health side of things and anxiety and even just feeling like stressed and overwhelmed. I mean, stress is one of the biggest killers we're facing at the moment. I mean, forget coronavirus, has got nothing on stress. I mean, coronavirus may yeah, cause a certain amount of stress, but it will be the stress that gets you. And it is a huge, I mean, that's a pandemic if ever there was one, stress in itself. And add a little bit of stress to that and already people that are on the edge and they can really be struggling. I mean, I've noticed on social media a lot of people sort of reaching out, and I think unfortunately they only get a response of sympathy when empathy and some good hard work with that would be what they need. But yeah, sure. I mean, a lot of people are approaching and getting in touch, and because they're just feeling as though actually, you know, we really need to step up. And it's something I've been, I mean, breath work is my favorite action therapy tool. And I've been using it a lot myself to keep myself clear. Not just so that I can stay connected and be one with the universe, but so that I'm clear for my clients, so that emotionally, when we're obviously only doing Skype calls at the moment, but it's just as effective over Skype. And one thing that a lot of people have sort of said with breath work is, oh, well, we can't do that online. And it's something we've done a lot of investigation with, and we've been working with it a long time, and it can be done over Skype with a really good energetic expert practitioner. A breath work over Skype is just as effective than if they're with you in the room. In fact, energetically, they are with you in the room. So I've actually found a lot of people getting in touch, and on that side of things, not a lot has changed. If anything, more people are actually looking for that. And that shows a little bit where people are waking up, and they're saying, actually, life wasn't good enough before this, and we need to make that improvement. So it's doing that personal work to become, or start becoming, the best version of yourself you can be.
Just hearing you talking, I think that really serves as a great example as to what we was just talking about. You know, you could fall into the fear, or adapt, do it via Skype, and you've overcome the problem.
Yeah, people, you could either say, oh, well, there's no clients because no one wants to do it, or actually, let's work out a way that we can put this out. And actually, now we're more available to more people.
Yeah.
So forget your niche market. It's just blown out the water sort of thing. So great. So join us for part three, and we look forward to talking to
you. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hey, and welcome back, everybody. So, the third part of the show we'd like to cover is finding the ability to take a powerful stand and lead the people you serve, personally and professionally. And obviously, we touched a little bit on the end of the last part, but this is very much around looking at sort of doing your personal work and making sure that you have the power to stand up in these times and not sort of fall. And it's, for me, it's about the people that I serve. That's obviously clients mainly, but obviously within groups of friends as well. If you're helping and supporting friends, or again, we were talking about the local community, it's finding ways that A, you personally can find ways to stand up and be strong and lead and help others, but also if you're looking to for that guidance yourself, and you're looking for someone, perhaps whether it's a guide or a coach or whatever it be, it's looking for that person and approaching them. It really resonates with me, but they say often the perfect guide for you will come to you at the right time, and it is so true. And so many people I know that have done the work have said exactly the same thing. So it's like if you need that support and you're looking for somebody that you could, or an expert that you can really help you move forwards in the areas that you're looking to move forwards. Again, we said earlier, you use that discernment, but take the stand, make the decision to reach out and be that bigger version of yourself. I know what's hit a lot of people at the moment is with having more time on your hands and being sort of alone with self a lot more, especially people being isolated. Again, it touches on what we were saying in part two about mindset, but a lot of people, they're just feeling a little bit lost, and maybe some regrets are coming in around, well, I'm sitting here doing nothing because I can't do anything. But what about when I can do something? I was doing nothing then. So a lot of people are sort of almost going through like a life review, almost of, well, when I can get out and go to the beach, I want to go four times a week, not four times a year. And whatever it is, it's that making a new decision, and it's standing up and making a change. And it's like be the change you want to see in the world. And yeah, reach out to somebody if that's what you're looking for. If you are feeling confused spiritually and it suddenly feels like you're waking up and you're feeling a lot of things or hearing a lot of things, whether it's noises in your ears or ringing, if there's certain things that don't make sense and you've looked online and there's a lot of stuff that's written and some is very good and some is quite the opposite, and be discerning with what you're looking for. But yeah, reach out to somebody that if you feel you need guidance, if you feel that you need that community for support, it's like reach out to it.
Absolutely.
Get involved. And then you'll find that once you find that support network for yourself, you could actually be that support network for others as well. And I think that's really important to learn, that everybody needs help and support. Nobody can do it on their own. And often we tell ourselves we have to do it on our own because we don't want to be a burden on anybody or this, that, and the other. But a healthy community is built on unconditional love and empathy. And it's one thing that I say to my clients is, like, there's never any judgment. And behavior is just behavior. And I'd much rather people were honest and said things with unconditional love than to just sort of be wishy-washy or not 100% honest because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or say what they truly meant. It's kind of like
It's just being real with it.
Yeah, say it how it is. You know, nobody's judging anybody else and nobody's taking anything personally. And within a community, when you find that sort of group of like-minded people or that guide to lead you, you'll find that you resonate with how they are and how they teach. And it's that having no judgment. And, you know, we all have ups and downs and we all say things that perhaps come out of our mouths before we think about what we've said, so we end up sort of apologizing. But again, it's people need to be more real, and nobody's a burden on anybody else. And actually, it's better to be a burden to somebody else that can help you become independent than to be a burden on yourself for the rest of your life. You know, it's kind of like by not looking and seeking the help that you've been searching for, you're actually doing a disservice to yourself. And actually, I've found, especially on a spiritual path, that more often than not, when people start waking up and they gain more empathy, they get misguided because they start seeing other people's behaviours as a negative thing. And they say, oh, well, since I became awake and I've started doing energetic stuff, I attract bad people and bad things come in. And it's I could have a very good rant about it, but I shall not at this time. But it's like too many people pry on that and would say, oh, well, yes, well, you need to, certain things you need to do, and people like us are affected more. And it's kind of like they say people like us, people that are out to serve others and do energetic work and emotional work. And it's kind of like if you're doing your personal work, whatever work you do with somebody else doesn't shake you. It doesn't affect you. If the work you're doing is effective and you're using it in your personal life, you don't get shaken by these things. And you can teach people the truth and guide them in an effective way, rather than getting misled down the wrong path and believing that, or because they do energetic work, they're more susceptible to things. And again, it's just rubbish, really. Yeah, and it's a little bit love and light.
Well, it's a real interesting one, because it's like in a roundabout way, sort of, yes, we are more susceptible because we pick up on the vibration of the emotion and that sort of thing. However, if you're carrying people's stuff and I'm so tired after work because I've been healing all day and that sort of thing, you've really, really just got to have a real honest look in the mirror and go, what am I not quite getting right here? What am I missing? Why am I carrying the five people that I've seen today? Why am I carrying their crap?
You don't need to, and it's probably only ego that's hanging on to it.
it's having, you know, it's having that real aspect in you to say, and to be real honest with yourself as much as we sort of do with other people, go, right, what's not right here? What do I need to change? Because, you know, if you want to stand up and lead people, okay, you don't need to know everything. But you need to know yourself, and you need to know where you're leading to, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I use Penny as a guide, but then I got guide people myself, and it's that ripple effect, isn't it? And I think what's really I feel is really important is that, on this subject, is doing the personal work. So it's looking to somebody that will honestly say to you and say, look, I might only be two steps ahead of you, but I'm still moving forwards. I'm still doing my regular work. And it's looking for someone that's doing what you want to be doing. So somebody that's always moving forwards and always looking to be the best version of self. That's someone to look to and go, yeah, I want to train with them. Or that's a person that I can get inspired from. And then you'll find you're a step ahead of somebody else. And it's kind of like we're only healed when we're self-enlightened. And, it, anybody who says they're a healer or they can heal you, I would run. because the term healer can be used, I think, for shamans. And obviously there's a lot of
tribes, Native American tribes, yes, they did have a healer within the community, but so many people use the term healer and, oh, I can heal you and this, that and the other. And I'm a healer, but for myself. I'm a guide and a coach and a practitioner for my clients. I'm not a healer for them, and I cannot heal them. I can help and support and guide them, and through that process, if they choose to, they will heal themselves. But again, it's looking at the discernment. Don't look for somebody that's not going to take your money, steal your gold and run off. Look for somebody that will help you find your gold. And of course, they may charge you at some point, but that just is. And you'd be grateful to pay them. But it's finding someone that's going to help you mine your gold, to find what works for you and how to be the best version of yourself. Not just someone that's going to dictate to you and tell you, almost make out that they're doing the work. Because something that I've always been taught is, it's me doing the work. Yes, of course, you need that expert. You need that guide to help you through the process, because they're the expert because they've been through it themselves and they've been through it with many other people. So they know the way. It's like, as we would explain it, as the story of the buffalo. It's kind of like, find the expert that knows how to walk through the storm, who knows the quickest way through the storm. And the one that would open up and say, well, yeah, I've done, I mean, for me, I would say I've done 10 years of breath work, and I intend to do 10 years more, and 10 years after that, and 10 years after that. And I will keep going and keep working until I reach the goal of self-realization, because ultimately that's the aim for me. That's my goal, is to just keep going with my personal work, be guided and helped where I need to be, but also be that shining light for others and that guide for others. And it's trying to help people to realise that it doesn't matter who you're a guide for. Whether you've got to guide yourself, you can always be a guide for others as well. And especially within these times, people need people like us to stand up and say, look, you don't have to buy into the madness and the craziness. You don't have to be a prepper and build a bomb shelter. There's not going to be a zombie apocalypse. It's okay. Yes, this is a difficult situation for everybody to go through, but we can make it through. And it's making it through actually in a better state than when we started, which is why very much, I know when Penny wrote the stuff for the show, it was looking at what can we help and support people with, how can we sort of show them how we found it real easy in these times.
Yeah, because I found, you know, it was, to be honest, it was something that I really noticed, just that started to change the more that I'd done breath work and the more I learned and the sort of the more training I did, it sort of slowly, but over time, you could see there was a progression going from where actually I'm dealing with my personal stuff. I'm making the changes in the behaviours,
yep,
of mine that weren't particularly helpful, and doing the stuff that I need to sort. And it was like the more of that I cleared, and the more crap and the more clutter, the more it then became, I don't mean to sound wrong, but more became a focus for others. So it's like, right, okay, yeah. So, you know, I've done Reiki 1 and 2. Right, let's do my mastership so I can teach it for other people.
Yeah.
And you know, very much the same with breathwork. When I first started breathwork, and for years, it was very much, no, Breath for Life breathwork is a personal tool for me that I use to help me keep on a level, keep myself clear and keep moving forwards. And then I had an experience and sort of had my eyes open to like the practitioner side of a breathwork. And that was then a big realization for me that, no, it's not just Reiki that I want to do and want to sort of offer out to help people in life. You know, it's, I mean, for me, the ultimate reason why I'm doing this work and all that sort of stuff, whether that's personally on myself or helping clients with breathworks and that sort of thing is because I wouldn't like to even begin to imagine where I would be if I hadn't have found the work that we do and the help and support that I have had throughout the last 7 or 8 years of being with Acorns Woken Team Buffalo, you know. And it's like, well, if the only way I can say thank you is to give that back, then that's, you know, that's sort of my motivation. It's like, right, let's give this to as many people. Let's, because I'm not special. No one's any better or any worse than anybody else. So if I can do it, you can do it. I needed someone to hold the space for me to let me do it. I've got to a position where I can now hold the space, sort of such as you and Penny. So
yeah,
start putting it out there and helping where you can. And if you need the help, ask.
Yep, absolutely. Brilliant. So thanks very much for listening. Just remember, keep connected, keep that positive mindset, reach out to those communities, get involved, work on that mindset, and have a wonderful week. We shall see you next week. Look forward to speaking to you then.
Stay safe. Take care, everybody.